This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Cornhusker State is pummeled. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Wednesday, March 20th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Dozens of cities and counties in Nebraska have declared states of emergency due to historic flooding, which could worsen in the coming days in other parts of the region.
With crowding concerns in the Rio Grande Valley, Border Patrol has started releasing some families who cross here illegally instead of detaining them.
The CEO of Boeing promises that a software update and pilot training are on the way for the 737 MAX aircraft.
And on the auto front, Ford is frantically reworking plants to meet overwhelming demand for SUVs like the Expedition.
Ford redefined Maximum and said they had to find a way to again grow to meet demand. They knew there was strong support for the Expedition and the Navigator, but they simply can't get these things to dealers fast enough, particularly in the state of Texas.
Phoebe Wall Howard at the Detroit Free Press on Ford retooling an assembly line. She's here in about 20 minutes. The statistics from epic flooding in Nebraska are stunning. 74 cities and 65 counties declared states of emergency yesterday as large portions of the Midwest were inundated by rivers that endured days of heavy rain and melting snow. More broadly, the National Weather Service said more than 7 million people in 14 states live where a flood warning was still in effect as of yesterday. In Nebraska alone, the farm and ranch losses because of floods could reach $1 billion. One farmer told CBS News he has lost at least 700 heads of cattle on his farm. Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts.
This is the most widespread damage we've ever experienced in our state and our state's history. It is truly an epic disaster.
The town of Waterloo, with about 1,000 residents just west of Omaha, has been virtually cut off by floodwaters. Vice President Mike Pence surveyed damage in Nebraska yesterday, talking to first responders and visiting a temporary shelter. The Army Corps of Engineers said about 200 miles of levees were compromised in Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas. The first two people to be buried after last week's mosque attacks that killed 50 people are a father and his son. Khalid Mustafa was 44 years old. His son Hamza Mustafa was 15. Hamza's high school principal described the student as compassionate and hardworking and said he was an excellent horse rider who aspired to be a veterinarian. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern visited the school, which lost two current students and one former student in the massacre. She promised new gun laws.
We'll be announcing those decisions very, very soon. And so that's an immediate thing that we've wanted to do, because many of you will have seen we have a lot of holes in our gun laws in New Zealand, and we need to fix that.
Mourners earlier today carried the bodies of the two family members to a freshly dug gravesite where hundreds gathered around. Some were invited to scoop handfuls of dirt on top of the bodies. Authorities spent 4 days constructing a special grave at a city cemetery that is designated for Muslim burials. The funerals come 5 days after the massacre in the city of Christchurch on New Zealand's South Island. A 28-year-old Australian man is charged. The CEO of Boeing says the aircraft manufacturer will soon release a software update and offer related pilot training for the 737 MAX to, quote, address concerns that arose in the aftermath of October's Lion Air flight that plunged into the Java Sea, killing 189. The plane's new flight control software is suspected of playing a role in that crash and one that occurred recently. In an open letter to airlines, Dennis Muhlenberg says Boeing representatives are also supporting the investigation into the cause of last week's crash of an Ethiopian Airlines MAX 8 that killed 157. He released a video yesterday as well.
Safety is at the core of who we are at Boeing, and ensuring safe and reliable travel on our airplanes is an enduring value and our absolute commitment to everyone.
Meanwhile, Reuters is reporting that the pilots of a doomed Lion Air Boeing 737 MAX scoured a handbook as they struggled to understand why the jet was lurching downwards, but ran out of time before it hit the water. 11 minutes now after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. No one compliments you when their paycheck is correct, but make one mistake and you risk alienating your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Thanks for joining us. In politics, as in life, here's a good rule of thumb. Be careful what you wish for. Wall Street Journal columnist Jerry Seib says this is a good time in Washington to remember that rule. Republicans might remind themselves of it, he says, as they support President Trump's move to declare a state of emergency for border wall funding. And Democrats might remind themselves of it, he says, as they consider using their new House majority to impeach the president. Jerry explained.
You know, there are two kind of potentially big moments approaching in each party's go on opposite sides of the two moments, but they both have to be aware of the unintended consequences, the backfire potential. So on the Republican side, lots of Republicans have lined up behind President Trump to support him in his declaration of a national emergency so that he can take money from various places that Congress didn't appropriate for building a border wall and use it to build that border wall that he talks about along the U.S.-Mexican border. This is a way to solve the president's problem, which is he can't get Congress to go along with his plan to spend as much money on a border wall as he wants. But a lot of Republicans even are worried that this sets a terrible precedent, that once you start using emergency declarations to fund projects the president wants but Congress doesn't go along with, then pretty soon you have a president who is appropriating on his own funds that ought to be appropriated by Congress, and that is too much power to give the executive branch. Nonetheless, Republicans, by and large, went along with the president on this. He's probably going to get his way. And the concern among some Republicans is that a Democratic president now can come along and will use the same precedent and fund things that Republicans don't like, yeah. And that's a bad precedent. On the impeachment front, you have Democrats pushing an idea that's, you know, obviously very controversial, which is to move out fairly promptly to begin impeachment proceedings against President Trump. You know, they're not even waiting for Bob Mueller, the special counsel, to complete his report before trying to move out in that direction. Now, I think one of the problems with that is that if you look as if you are deciding to impeach a president first and then you go look for the evidence later, you've lowered the bar for impeachment. And again, Democrats ought to probably be worried about setting a precedent and a new standard that at some point may come back to haunt them, because at some point down the road, a Republican Congress will do the same to a Democratic president.
So this could unfold in extremes for both sides?
I think so. I mean, again, you know, the danger is, and we've seen this in politics over and over again, that when you do something that is a short-term fix for your problem today in your party, you've created a precedent that the other party comes back and uses. You know, anybody who thinks that one political action doesn't today produce an opposite and equal reaction is kind of missing the point. You know, Democrats have discovered this. They moved to change the Senate rules when President Obama was president to make it easier to confirm federal judges over the objection of Republicans. Now Republicans have turned around and are using those same rules, which they then amped up a bit, to confirm not just federal judges but Supreme Court judges without allowing those picks to be filibustered. And that's a precedent Democrats set in many ways, and now they're the victims of their own precedent.
We're speaking with Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at the Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled Memo to Both Parties on Emergency and Impeachment, Beware Unintended Consequences. So given that we've been down this path before with other issues at different times, why is it that, to borrow your headline, a memo is even needed here?
You know, people's memory is pretty short, I guess, is the correct answer to that question. And, you know, the temptation in politics, as in life, is to do the thing that feels right at the moment without thinking about the long-term consequences. And that's why I think when we started out this conversation, we talked about unintended consequences or backfire potential. You know, as I said in the lead of this column, be careful what you wish for is a good rule of thumb in life, that sometimes things don't turn out the way you want. And this is one of the frustrating things about politics and governance, which is that it's slow, it's frustrating. If you don't have the votes, you get stuck. And the temptation on both sides is to just find the shortcut to the goal that you want right now. The problem with that approach is there always are long-term consequences that are not so convenient.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal columnist Jerry Seib. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the suspect accused of carrying out Friday's terror attack in Christchurch, New Zealand, was likely on his way to carry out a third shooting before he was stopped by authorities. Police Commissioner Mike Bush says authorities absolutely believe they stopped the suspect on the way to a further attack. Bush added that officials hope to soon positively identify most of the victims, but for some, the process will take longer.
We would like to do that as quickly as possible, but it must be done as professionally and accurately as possible. To get it wrong is unforgivable, and you cannot come back from that.
50 people were killed when a gunman opened fire inside the mosques. Newly unsealed documents show that agents working for Special Counsel Robert Mueller began investigating Michael Cohen in the middle of 2017, only 2 months after Mueller took on his role and earlier than previously known. The Special Counsel's early interest in Cohen focused on his consulting work for foreign entities and on his personal finances. The documents also show Mueller's office handed parts of the Cohen investigation in February 2018 to federal prosecutors in Manhattan. International aid is trickling into the East African countries of Mozambique and Zimbabwe after a cyclone triggered deadly flooding. Relief efforts have been slowed by airport closures, but they are gaining some steam as foreign governments pledge to help in the aftermath of the cyclone. Deborah Nguyen is with the World Food Program.
There is no running water, no power, so wherever they find a shelter, the living conditions are very difficult.
The cyclone brought winds of up to 105 miles per hour, which flattened buildings and put millions of lives at risk. Disney today closed its $71 billion acquisition of Fox's entertainment business, putting Cinderella, The Simpsons, Star Wars, and Doctor Strange under one corporate roof. The deal is likely to shake up the media landscape and paves the way for Disney to launch its streaming service, Disney Plus, later this year. It will also likely lead to layoffs in the thousands, thanks to duplication and Fox and Disney's film production staff.
Oh. So Cinderella, The Simpsons, Star Wars, and Doctor Strange.
All under one roof.
Living happily ever after.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. The Federal Open Market Committee wraps up 2 days of meetings this afternoon. With the Fed adopting a patient stance on interest rates, this will impact consumers in varying ways. More from Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Greg, what should we know?
Well, the Fed's not going to raise interest rates, not only at this meeting, but possibly for quite some time to come. But that if you're a borrower, there's one of two outcomes you have to be concerned about. Either the economy is going to continue to motor along, in which case the Fed is eventually going to have to resume raising interest rates, or we will have an eventual economic slowdown, in which case you don't want that debt burden hanging over your head. So either way, don't take this pause by the Fed as an excuse to, you know, get lackadaisical on your debt repayment. You still want to keep the hammer down, get that debt paid off as quickly as possible, because whether the economy does better or the economy does worse, either way, having that debt hanging over your head is not going to be an advantage.
I don't think anybody ever said, that's a good idea, hang on to that debt, right? Keep that around for a while. What are the other takeaways for consumers here?
Well, savers are going to see some of the momentum that we've seen in savings rates and certificates of deposit. Some of that momentum is going to diminish. There's still a lot of competition. Even now, we still see banks continuing to raise their payouts at the top end of the list. But the main takeaway for savers is that the Fed may be on the sidelines, but inflation is stable. So you're earning a rate of return that's higher than inflation, and one of the reasons that the Fed can afford to be on the sidelines is that inflation is not heading higher. So inflation's not chewing up your entire rate of return, as had been the case over much of the last decade.
How about what this means for the housing market?
Well, mortgage rates have very quietly moved to a 13-month low. They've kind of come down pretty dramatically, more than half a percentage point since mid-November. And for people that have been looking for an opportunity to buy, from an affordability standpoint, this puts a little bit of wind in your sails. But you know, that being said, there's still limited inventory in the market, particularly in the first-time homebuyer range. So I do expect we'll see a little bit of pickup in activity in the housing market, but don't expect it to suddenly go gunning into higher gear.
We're speaking with Greg McBride. He's chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com. We're talking about what the Fed's patience means for borrowers, since it's not raising rates at the end of this current meeting. How long do you think the Fed will continue to be this patient?
Well, that is really going to depend on the path the economy takes. I think slower growth is the norm, but this economy doesn't show any signs of rolling over. So I think the likelihood is that the economy is going to show enough strength that later this year, the Fed may have to get back in the game of raising interest rates. Now, that's a debatable point. There are plenty of people that say that, that the next move that the Fed is ultimately going to make is going to be to cut rates, not raise rates. But in either event, it does look like the Fed is going to be on the sidelines at least for the next several months. I think by the time we get to September, I think that's the point where we'll be able to have a much better assessment of where the economy is, and I think that's where the likelihood of a rate hike starts to go up again.
Thanks, Greg. Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where my data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your info. That's why I decided to take back my privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Gordon. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, March 20th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Flooding misery continues for the Plains and Midwest. Border Patrol releasing some illegal families instead of detaining them due to overcrowding. Spring officially arrives this evening with Dairy Queen celebrating by giving away small vanilla soft serve cones. Powerball drawing tonight worth $550 million. Mike Trout's new contract with the Angels is just short of that amount. And the internet service tech going viral for his kindness. That story in about 20 minutes. In an attempt to meet rapidly growing demand for the Ford Expedition that comfortably seats 8 passengers, the car maker announced yesterday that it will overhaul the SUV's production, speeding up assembly lines and adding workers. Phoebe Wall Howard, who covers the auto industry for the Detroit Free Press, says our appetites for these huge vehicles is nearly insatiable. Phoebe, what's happening?
Well, the incredible thing is that Ford Motor Company announced 1 year ago that they were at maximum capacity in Louisville, Kentucky, at the Kentucky Truck Plant. What we learned this week is that, in fact, Ford redefined maximum and said they had to find a way to, again, grow to meet demand. They knew there was strong support for the Expedition and the Navigator, but they simply can't get these things to dealers fast enough, particularly in the state of Texas. So it is an 8-passenger vehicle. It is enormous. And people want them, and they want them today. So what they've done is they've transformed how the factory looks, how it works, how factory workers are used, and what to do when parts break.
Boy. So this comes at a time, our love of these 8-seat SUVs, not to be cynical or sarcastic, at a time when we as Americans are having fewer children, what do we need all the room for? We just like the size of these things?
People like the size. They like the movement. I mean, I had calls this morning from the state of California all over where people wanted to talk about the Expedition, that they plan to pivot from other products. People like the space. They want to do a lot of activity and, frankly, carry around their friends and haul stuff. I don't know when America came to be so much about hauling stuff, but we have a lot of stuff, apparently. And this is just unbelievable. I mean, what we learned on the factory situation in the month of July 2019, Ford will actually revise. If you imagine a big city and you have to build high-rises because you can't build out, Ford is actually creating platforms and pits so that factory workers can work up rather than out. They can do multiple activity on the products and do it with integrity, but you've got to move things through faster. And again, the Kentucky truck plant was at capacity. They're moving over another 500 workers from a different plant, and this is just, you know, they're going after a lot of GM products. They're going after Tahoe drivers. They're going after Suburbans. This is a big war. It was a truck war. Now it's a large SUV war because this is the big, big money.
We're speaking with Phoebe Wall Howard. She covers the automotive industry from Detroit for the Detroit Free Press. This is part of the USA Today network. So you mentioned, too, that in essence of saving time and improving efficiency, they actually have a 3D printer on site in one of these plants to actually make parts or equipment so they don't have to send away for it?
Absolutely. And this is kind of astonishing unless you actually go into the plant and see how it works. So the factory workers and their supervisors are, in fact, trained on the 3D printers. What happens when you're producing all this huge, heavy equipment is pieces in the manufacturing process can snap. They can break. And because of the 3D printer, you have the code. In the old days, and not so long ago, you would actually have to stop, and you'd have to pause, stop making your products, and wait for a company to send you new pieces and new parts. Now they reproduce everything in real time, and the 3D printer, actually, it's as strong and efficient as the original part. So they send out for it, but there is no disruption. And the idea that 3D printers are such a huge component of manufacturing today.
The numbers that you have in your story regarding the Expedition are unbelievable. Ford says retail sales are up 35%?
Yeah.
That's
and
unbelievable.
That's, and by the way, that's sales, meaning keep in mind they have informed us this week that their sales are actually depressed due to lack of supply. So that's sales up 35% in a situation that is not ideal for them.
It's unbelievable. Phoebe Wall Howard, who covers the auto industry for the Detroit Free Press. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, and you can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you've ever been in a casino, you can probably spot the hardcore gamblers, the ones who likely haven't seen the light of day in some time and will be lucky to leave with the shirt on their backs. And then there's the flip side. The tourist who breezes through, wins it big, and then goes home. That's what apparently happened in Las Vegas over the weekend as Lady Luck and the Luck of the Irish conspired to help someone win over $1 million in less than 5 minutes on St. Patrick's Day. According to the Plaza Hotel and Casino, a tourist from Hawaii had just arrived and started playing when they hit the jackpot on the Monopoly Millionaire Penny slot machine, taking home $1,029,000 in change. The name of the winner has not yet been released. Now, can you imagine, though, with that, that's a penny slots machine.
Just to be clear, you're actually putting pennies in this machine?
I guess so. So, I mean, that means, I guess, it, you know, it's one of those building, I'm guessing, one of those gradual, what do they call that? There's some of the name for that, but
okay.
Where the kind of the jackpot builds up over time, what I mean? And then eventually it all pays out to whoever eventually gets it.
Oh,
so if that's,
goodness.
If that's going like a penny at a time or something, it must have taken a long, long time.
A million.
To get a million to change. A million bucks.
The 29,000.
Yeah.
Just apart from, like, it was $1,029,000.
Yeah.
The 29,000. Would have been impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
On a penny slot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we would have gone nuts if that had happened to us.
That's unbelievable. And I hope the person left.
That's what
like
I'm...
You just got to walk out.
Well, see, you know what happened in a situation like that? The casino all of a sudden is like, hey, why don't you stay? We'll give you a free room. Right. And we'll give you meals. We'll give this. You know, why don't you... They kind of want to keep you there because they want to get some of that money back.
Peace out.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of discipline about things. Yeah. I do have discipline about money.
Right.
I would have been out the door.
Like, see you
good
later.
Good night.
Here's where you can send my check. Yeah.
In fact, they still talk about me in Lake Tahoe when I won $12 one time.
Yeah.
And I left and bought an $11 lunch.
Your picture's up on the wall.
That's right.
And believe it or not, Gordon, the first regular season Major League Baseball game is being played this morning in Japan between Seattle and Oakland. As such, it seems like the perfect time for our annual tradition of talking about the craziest new foods you'll see at the ballpark this season, according to the list compiled by USA Today. In Detroit, look out for the Coney Dog Egg Roll, which is an egg roll filled with hot dog, chili, drizzled with yellow mustard, and topped with diced onions. In Pittsburgh, you can bite into a Pittsburgh cone, where ice cream is nowhere to be found. Instead, a waffle cone is filled to the brim with kielbasa, pierogi, Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, and Russian dressing.
Oh my goodness. Is that food for a weekend?
Yeah.
That's like a weekend portion, probably.
At least. Cones are apparently in this year as the Minnesota Twins are debuting a chicken and waffle cone as well. In LA, the Dodger dog has been supersized. Going Yard, as it's called, is a 16.5-inch jalapeno cheddar sausage topped with grilled onions, roasted corn, avocado relish, and sour cream.
Wow.
If you're looking for sheer gut-busting size or need to feed your entire row, look to Texas, where the Rangers will be serving up something called the Foul Pole, a 2-pound chicken tender on a bed of waffle fries with several dipping sauce options.
Wow.
That was ranked number one on the list from USA Today of their craziest new foods for this year.
Not necessarily the best, just crazy.
Yeah. Kind of crazy and out there, because obviously it's really just a big chicken tender. It's not as intricate as these other ones. But for sheer size, you want to feed everybody you know, that's the one to go to.
I love the names. Yes. Going Yard.
Going Yard.
In L.A. Yes. So the jalapeno cheddar sausage.
Yeah.
Versus Pittsburgh's this waffle cone
the
with
kielbasa. Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of the sausage. Yeah. I don't know which one I'd go for.
Yeah.
Because it seems here, based on sheer size and caloric opportunities, you can really only choose one in a sitting.
Right. For the season, basically.
That's right. Wow. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
With this job, having two hands won't cut it, which is why I thank the stars I have a third, Grainger. When my two hands are full, I fully rely on Grainger. They're America's number one source for industrial-grade supplies. So, whether I'm fixing a furnace or fastening a faucet, Grainger hands me what I need when I need it, which makes me a pretty lucky guy. Because when it comes to needing an extra hand, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Glad you could spend some time with us. New info about our fruits and vegetables. A report by the Environmental Working Group ranks kale as a third worst fruit or vegetable behind strawberries and spinach when it comes to pesticide contamination. Over 92% of kale samples were found to have two or more pesticide residues. One of the pesticides commonly found with kale was Dacthal, or DCPA. The pesticide, banned in Europe and classified by the EPA as a possible carcinogen, was found on nearly 60% of kale samples tested. The USDA changes the batch of fruits and vegetables it tests on consumers' eating habits. As such, kale had not been examined in nearly a decade. In a bigger picture, some 70% of the conventionally grown produce sold in the U.S. has pesticide residues, according to the annual Dirty Dozen report. Experts recommend choosing organic when possible or eating fruits and vegetables that are less likely to be contaminated, like avocados, frozen sweet peas, or broccoli. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
More than 65 counties in Nebraska have declared states of emergency as parts of the Midwest battle rivers swollen by days of snowmelt and heavy rain. Parts of Wisconsin and Iowa are also underwater. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds.
We had record wetness across Nebraska, fifth worst in 124 years. We had the bomb cycle low pressure that triggered intense snow and rain.
As of yesterday afternoon, parts of 14 states were still under a flood warning. A chemical plant near Houston has been burning since Sunday morning, and officials say they don't know how long it will take to burn itself out. Firefighters are trying to keep it from spreading as thick black smoke billows into the air. Jerry Mouton Jr. is mayor of Deer Park.
They thought they had certain aspects under a certain containment. It changed overnight. When I got up, one of the first things, it was worse than it was yesterday.
The plant owner, Intercontinental Terminals Company, says that while the fire looks ominous, no one is in danger. But officials are monitoring air quality and working with the EPA. A California jury has found Bayer's Roundup weed killer caused cancer, a blow to the company 8 months after another jury issued a $289 million verdict over similar claims in a different case. The unanimous decision in San Francisco federal court came after 5 days of deliberation. Liability and damages will be decided by the same jury in a second trial phase beginning today. Bayer, which owns Roundup maker Monsanto, denies the allegations and says it's disappointed with the decision. Former Vice President Joe Biden has told at least a half dozen supporters he intends to run for president and asked for their help in lining up contributions from major donors so he can quickly raise several million dollars. The Wall Street Journal says Biden wants to announce a large fundraising number after his candidacy is official. Songs performed by Jay-Z, Cyndi Lauper, and a Robert F. Kennedy speech are among 25 recordings being inducted into the National Recording Registry. La Bamba, Sweet Caroline, Soul Man, and September are some of the titles tapped for preservation this year. The registry is also adding Kennedy's recorded speech after the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s 1968 assassination 2 months before Kennedy was killed. The library selects titles for preservation due to their cultural and historic importance.
And their ability to stay in your head for several days after hearing them played.
Like now.
There we go. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. A viral photo of an internet service tech soothing a frazzled little boy with special needs in South Carolina is warming hearts. A Facebook post by the boy's mother, Jessica Nash Donahue, says the Spectrum internet employee, identified only as Robert, came to her home in Greenville on Saturday to upgrade the family service. She said her three-year-old, named Sailor, had been crying all morning. He's blind and has two brain defects, unable to communicate his needs. While mom was trying to soothe him while also keeping after her two-year-old daughter, plus cleaning, washing dishes, doing laundry, she was having a tough day. She says that's when Robert the tech stepped in to help. When Robert walked in and started talking, young Sailor ran to him and reached up. Robert didn't seem bothered at all, she said, and instead held her son off and on for the whole 45 minutes he was there. Ms. Donahue wrote, "That's beyond customer service. It's humanity at its best." She urged the company to give him a raise or a promotion. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.